This week's parsha is an important preparation. It's a preparation to Shnas HaShmita. Shnas HaShmita is something that gives us tremendous opportunities in Ruchnias to grow from. Torah Akdosh in this week's parsha says, V'hoisa Shabbos ha'aretz lachem la'achla l'chol la'avdecho l'mascha u'vehemtecha v'lechaya asher ba'aretzecha. It's a time when you rest, the land rests, and you're supposed to eat from the land. Notice the order of the pasuk. The pasuk describes you will eat, your servants, and then the animals. The Yad Ephraim in his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch points out in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin that the order is actually quite strange. There's Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the exact opposite of what's described in this week's parasha. Who's supposed to eat first? You or your animals? Your animals, it's a halacha. It's a halacha. You're supposed to think of your animals first. And it also comes from a pasuk. We said tonight in Kriyishma. V'nasati esel v'hemtecha. And then it says, v'achalta v'savata. And the Gemara says, that you give your animals to eat first. Asks the Magen Avraham and the Yad Ephraim, so why is it when it comes to Shemitah, the halacha is different? To answer this question, Yad Ephraim really is dealing with another issue. He points out that there's a stira in the Mamore Chazal, because Chazal point out that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made the miracle, the Siyata Deshmaya, of hitting the rock, the pasuk there says, "Vatashta ido uvi iram," that Klal Yisrael gave their, they drank, and then their flock drank. So there's a stira between the halacha in Shulchan Aruch and what happened in the Midbar. Says the Yad Ephraim in Shulchan Aruch, say a chasidah shevart from the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and also important Musar. Says the Yad Ephraim, a brilliant distinction. When we're talking about something that comes about through a miracle, so then in such a case, the people eat first and then the animals. But when it's something that comes al pi derech hateva, then the animals come first and not the people. Why, says the Yad Ephraim? Because how do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you? Because you deserve it. Maybe he gave it to you because he wanted your animals to eat. And you're lucky to tag along to your animals. Says the Yitav Lev. That's the answer in regards to Shemitah as well. When it comes to Shemitah, so there humanity, Klal Yisrael, has their own zechuyos, which we're going to need to elaborate on in a moment. And therefore, the halacha would be that you could eat on your own. Interestingly, there are some poskim that say that on Shabbos, this halacha doesn't apply. That on Shabbos, a human being will eat first. So when it comes to the neis, vatashta edo v'iram, so then they drink first. Because a neis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make golemala me'ateva for an animal. But Rabosai, do you hear the musar? What a very powerful musar. And that is your eating any better than your behema? And it could be your whole entire zuchus to eat comes from your animal. What a powerful musar we really need to think about. That means the Shnas HaShmita affords us the opportunity, Parshas Bahar affords us the opportunity to ask ourselves, what exactly is the quality of our Achila? And I want to apply the Yesod of the Yad Ephraim, the Yesod of the Yitav Lev, in three different directions. Number one, to talk about our Kedusha in our relationship with Gashmias. Number two, to talk about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, talk about one of the most common maladies that young men are facing in their existence today. In regards to Kedusha, let's add to what the Yitav Lev is saying. The Ramban in this week's parasha points out that the whole essence of Shemitah, when the Torah says, Sadcha lo sizmar, Sizra v'charmecha lo sizmar, when the Torah says that, the Torah is not telling us that there's a prohibition to cut, but rather, in the language of Reb Shlomo Zalman, there's an isser of hoiras bailus. A person can't show that it's prohibited for him to act as if the land is his. And what he needs to do is realize at the end of the day, what Shemitah reminds us is that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entirely in control. And everything we get is no better than that of a behemah. In fact, that's what the halacha in Shemitah is. The moment the animals in the field can no longer eat that food because it was kala l'chayim in asada, is the moment the human being can't eat that food either. He has a chiyuv to be mafkirit. Why? Because at the end of the day, who says your achila is any better than the behemah? And the moment we realize that, that's what the Yitav Lev is saying. The moment we realize that is the moment a person is ma'ala his chelek elokam imam. The moment that he realizes that he's not really in control is the moment in which he's no longer a behemah. He's living l'mala me'ateva. Sometimes our money, our nechassim, our attitude that what I have is really my own dominates the way in which we think. I'm embarrassed sometimes in religious neighborhoods watching people, customers, as they speak. For sure, it's a chil Hashem as well when it's talking to the Gentiles, but even one Jew to another, one religious Jew to another, the way in which the customer acts, I'm the customer, I'm the bailim, and you're my servant. I'm just quoting Rav Fishel Schechter. He's a fascinating Magid Shir, a tremendous sense of humor from Tarvidas. And he says, watch a hat store Erev Yom Tov. If I was really yeshivish, I would say, Mirtza Hashem by you. That's not my agenda at all. And Rav Fishel Schechter says, the attitude that he sees, magiali, sending the guy back and forth, back and forth. He quips that one guy is complaining about he didn't write in his initials properly. He says, that's not my initials. My initials are not OHD, they're OCD. There's this mindset, of magiali, magiali, magiali. Why? Because I'm the customer. Do you really have anything more than that person? What is the Maisa Achila? When you go to a restaurant and you order a dish and it's not exactly the way you said it to, you instructed the waitress or you requested from the waitress that the food be served. You send her back again and again. Would you do that to your mother? Would you do that to your wife? And there are some guys who they're doing it to the waitress, they're going to do it to their wives too. Why? I'm paying. I'm entitled. I've seen it with my own eyes. What is achila? What is someone who buys food and consumes it? It's an opportunity for a person to varm pshutim. It's an opportunity for a person to fuel up. And just because you're paying for it, magiali? And therefore I could be matriach other people? And because I'm paying for it, therefore they're here to serve me? Practically. In Kedusha, one last point. Based on what the Yitav Lev and the Yad Ephraim are teaching us. We also have to ask ourselves about our indulgence in Gashmias. It's easy to say, I myself don't live it. But each person, al pi madrigaso. Do you really need that next piece of cake? You're really going to go cross town because English cake tastes better than the Israeli bakery? Is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us on this world for? Our achila, once we recognize it's not about me, 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 is the moment in which a person reaches a much higher madriga. There's a deeper lesson over here. Lesson number one is in regards to Kedusha. Lesson number two I would describe is about letting God in. Kotzker Rebbe always pronounced, where is God? Wherever you let him in. The moment in which man surrenders and realizes that the land is not his, the peros are not his, is the moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'tzivasi es birchasi. The moment in which we allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the picture, and we don't think we are entirely controlled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something much greater than we ever had thought. And that's what the Omek of the Yad Ephraim is all about. You know what the Yad Ephraim is saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're entitled to it because of your animals. What does that mean, you're entitled to because of your animals? You're entitled, al pi derech hateva. Just like the animal is entitled to it, you're entitled to it. And your zchus is no different than the behemoth's zchus. And if you want to go with me, al pi derech hateva, I'll go with you, al pi derech hateva. And some years it's going to rain, and some years it's not going to. Some animals starve, and some animals don't. V'tzivasi es birchasi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the moment a person removes that sense of aras bailus is the moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly gives shefa and bracha. I saw a beautiful story, very simple story, but fascinating story. Somebody here in Eretz, so there are people out there who really take Kedusha Shvius really seriously. Just a small anecdote that brings this point out. The fellow who had left two fruits that had Kedusha Shvius in the refrigerator, in their refrigerator, he and his wife. And he came back in the afternoon and he said to his wife, where are the apples? His wife says, I don't know. They're thinking, and they had a ozeret. They had a woman who was helping them in the house. She said, it must have been that the ozeret came and took it. The ozeret had left the home. She was about 45 minutes. They knew she took the number six. And he begins to retrace her step, take number six to the tachana. And he rushes, and he's asking somebody, do you see this person, this person? Finally, as she's about to board the bus on the tachana, she's about to get on, and he stops her, and he says to her, Eifo hasakit, Eifo hasakit, Eifo hasakit. And all of a sudden she turns white, and she says, Kachetze, Al tikra le mishtara. And she pulls out of her pocket all of his wife's diamonds and her wedding ring. He also asked her back for the apples as well. Sometimes a person is medagdek in Kedusha Shviyas, is medagdek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos. Rabbi Krohn records this story. And really there's something else that's behind. That becomes a symbol of what Shemitah is all about. What's behind Shemitah is the idea that a person realizes that sometimes what he thinks, his haras bailus, is not enough. It's extremely limited. It's al pi derech hateva. And that means practically, there are two things that we have to do. Number one is, we have to ask ourselves, are we seeing the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective? Or are we seeing it from simply a mundane perspective? And number two, when we plan our lives, when we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do we really leave space for Kudsha Brichu? Those plans might come to fruition. But when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say it in a way, and when you plan your life, the way you daven is reflexive. It's the way in which you experience life. When you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this is right, let this happen. Look at it in a broader context. And finally, the last lesson of what the Yad Ephraim and the Yitav Lev are bringing out. Modern man, and I've emphasized this in the past, I repeat it again, modern man, because of his condition, feels a tremendous need to control. And Shemitah is all about relinquishing control. But not only does it have an adverse effect in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only does it have an adverse effect in terms of the way in which we look at Gashmias, but it's also the way we end up raising a new generation of children. Rabbi Aaron Bina is a mechanich, a unique mechanich that I work for, and he quips that our door in Chinuch has a challenge of dealing with students in terms of anxiety that we've never seen before, to the point that he says in his way, he says, nowadays boys have anxiety if they don't have anxiety. Where's it coming from? What's the shorish? I'm not a mumcha, I'm not a psychologist, I'm a simple Shana Bet Rebbe. But what I do think, what's at part of what's at play is the tremendous amount of pressure that young men are feeling that we've spoken about in the past, and the pressure that their parents and they put on themselves to try to control situations. And we need to relinquish. And to relinquish requires two things. It requires the realization that a parent cannot determine the entire destiny of their child. That's Aleph. And maybe even on a more dangerous level in terms of Frumkeit is to realize that the peak of a child's Ruchnius is not something that a parent could create or a Rebbe that could create or a role model that could create, but rather is something that comes from the pure neshama of the child themselves. Let me read to you just a description of an interaction with Rav Pam that I think in very many ways brings out the idea that the way in which we generate ruchnius in children and in young adults is allowing them to flower. Yossi called one of his friends in London and said excitedly, I'm a chassan. Yossi was a Tarvadas boy. Yossi Herber of Detroit. Mazel tov, when are you getting married? The friend says, August 22nd, said Yossi. August 22nd, his friend said derisively, who cares about August? What's the Hebrew date? Truth is, he couldn't even remember exactly what's the Hebrew date. He's living in America. Then he called Rav Pam. Rav Pam, he tells Rav Pam he's a chassan. And Rav Pam says, Mazel tov, when are you getting married? Yossi hesitated for a moment. He's going to be himself with his Rebbe. August 22nd. That's wonderful, said Rav Pam. Do you know something? That's my anniversary. Yossi, now every year we'll be able to share our anniversaries together. Now, Rav Kron reports that Yossi was so taken aback by Rav Pam's response, he decided to do something audacious. And what he did was, every year on August 22nd, he sent Rav and Rebbetzin Pam, he was another Talmud Me'ashura and Tarvadas, he sent them an anniversary card. Rav Pam passed away. Yossi came for Nichum Aveilim. He spoke with Rav Pam's sons, who are all Marbitzei Torah. And then he asked to go see the Rebbetzin, where I come in from Brooklyn, the men and women sometimes sit on two sides of the house. So after you go to the men, so you go to the women. Most people don't go to the Rebbetzin. But Yossi felt, you know what, he'll go to the Rebbetzin. Rav Pam passed away, if I'm not mistaken, August 17th. I remember it was in the summer. Not a lot of people were around at the time. So August 17th, 5 days before his anniversary. Yossi sent the anniversary card a couple weeks in advance. The Rebbetzin started crying. She said, the last thing that I read to my husband was the anniversary card that you sent him. Look at two different responses to August 22nd. See what Rav Pam made Yossi in his response. It was all B'derech HaTeva. The odds of it happening are pretty slim. But that's how we create beautiful neshamas. That's how we create giving neshamas. Not with anxiety, not with control, but a tremendous sense of love and giving. But that comes about only when we, as young men, to be such parents, we have to be willing to let control on, let go, and let it, that responsibility to exert our power be relinquished a little. And ultimately then, Be'ezer Hashem will see Dore Doros of Yisharim. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Deshmaya to really internalize these three lessons for the Shas HaShemitah.